This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston. Home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a high drive into left field, headed high toward the wall. That is off the monster. Here comes Rafael rounding third. Here's the throw home, and he is out at home.
Wow, what a throw.
And that's how the ball game ends. Goodness gracious, Rafael Devers nailed it home. And Minnesota celebrating the victory and the series.
I mean, you're flirting with a walk-off, and you see the throw by Rosario all the way. I think it was a one-hopper, wasn't it? Devers trying to score all the way from first. He's out. He's a dead duck.
Oh, not even close. Yep. What a play.
What a way to end it.
So for those of you who were watching, and I'm not saying that necessarily many of you were, it's football season. Football season started last night, but those of you who are still dialed into the Red Sox, boy, what a finish last night at Fenway Park. What a finish. That's where we're going to start tonight on the Baseball Reporters. I'm not sure it's going to be where we spend a majority of our time because there are some other things to get to, most notably a column by Kenny Rosenthal of The Athletic on Dave Dombrowski and his future with the Red Sox, and I smell a rat. I smell a rat as it pertains to the column by Rosenthal. There's not a lot of new information in there per se, but I think the presentation of it tells you a lot. So 617-779-0985 is where we begin. We'll open up the phone lines right away. And if you want to talk baseball, now's your chance. Yankees are in town. Four-game series with the Red Sox. It spills over onto Monday. That is a rarity unto itself. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, four games with the Yankees. Barring something resembling a sweep, pretty close to it, or I don't know, three out of four, while Cleveland and Oakland and Tampa all lose, I don't know how you could necessarily feel good today after what happened last night at Fenway Park. And for those of you who don't know, the Red Sox were down. They were up 1-0 last night. Mookie Betts had another home run, this one to right field, a cheapie. The Red Sox were up 1-0, then they fell behind 2-1. The game went into the bottom of the ninth. The Twins brought in, what's his name, Sergio Romo? Is it Sergio Romo, the right-hander? Who's got a vicious breaking ball and got both Betts and Bogarts out. Then J.D. Martinez comes to the plate. J.D. Martinez comes to the plate, and I'm sorry, I left out Devers, who got on base with a single. Two outs, man at first. J.D. Martinez hits a ball that, off the bat, I personally did not think was a home run, but at Fenway Park, you never know. You never know. Still, with two outs, Rafael Devers is running on the crack of the bat. He bombs around. Carlos Fables, the third base coach, waves him in. Devers is out at the plate. The Red Sox lose 2-1, and Alex Cora, among others, feels like the air came out of the balloon. So, first things first, here is what Cora said about the play by Eddie Rosario, the left fielder, to throw Devers out at the plate, and about the impact of the loss overall on whatever chances the Red Sox have at making the postseason.
So do or die play at the plate. You know, the kid made a great play, and they ended up winning the game.
How kind of deflating is that, just to have the kind of win taken out of you? On that
Actually, play? I'm, like, laughing at it. Like, he hits the ball, you think he's out of the ballpark, the ball bounces off the wall, you think he's going to score, and he's out.
Okay, now look, Cora also said, when asked about the play at the plate, said it was a good send, meaning Fables made a good decision by waving in Devers. And the play at the plate, I don't know if you guys saw it live or you saw the replay, it wasn't even close. And in fact, at one point, after Devers was called out at the plate, Alex Cora put up his hand, looked down to his video people as if the Red Sox were going to challenge it. And watching it, I said, what are they going to challenge? I don't think Devers ever even got to the plate. It wasn't even that close. So I didn't know what the hell the Red Sox were going to challenge. As it is, they didn't challenge it. Devers never touched the plate. He was out by a mile. So when a guy is out by that distance, the natural question is this. And I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, and Jim Murray this first, and then we'll ask you. And again, 617-779-0985. Did the Red Sox do the right thing by waving him in? Did Carlos Fabelis at third base do the right thing waving in Rafael Devers in that situation when he was out by that much?
Yeah, I thought so. Desperate times call for desperate measures. So I didn't really have that big of an issue with it.
Jimmy Stewart?
I think if you're trying to win the game, would you rather have second and third with two outs or send them home? I would have played it conservative trying to. If I still think I'm in it, I hold them. If it's that far, if it's going to be that close at the plate, I hold them and see if the next guy can get them in.
Okay, so I personally would have waved him in. And I bring this up only because some people asked me this today. I got the question more than one time. Did they do the right thing waving him in? What did you think? Was that stupid? Was that smart? And I look at that particular play and I say, he did the right thing. Watching it, I had my doubts about whether Devers was going to be able to score. Off the bat, if you watch the play, J.D. Martinez lunges a little bit. The ball goes toward left field. And off the bat, I thought, I don't know if he hit this well enough for it to get out of the ballpark. I just didn't think that Martinez caught it quite enough. But then again, left field at Fenway is 310 feet.
Ish.
It doesn't take much. Good point, Jimmy.
It's like 301, maybe.
Okay, so that's the official number. A lot of people will tell you.
290.
Yeah, I've heard people say it's 305, 301, 307, but it's not 310. And, you know, years ago when people would go out to measure it, the Red Sox would chase them out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay, it used to happen all the time. So off the bat, I wasn't sure. Then I saw it hit the wall. And when I saw it carom the way it did, I went, uh-oh. The Red Sox needed a better bounce than that. Eddie Rosario, the outfielder of the Twins, played it perfectly. Now, I've told you a million times, left field at Fenway Park is one of the easiest outfields to play in baseball. But visiting players often screw it up. Rosario did not. He fielded it cleanly. And then my initial recollection was that he hit the cutoff man and then the throw to the plate. He didn't. He threw it on one bounce to the catcher who did not have to move. And Devers was out. So Rosario nailed the play. He nailed it. The Red Sox, as a result, missed a golden opportunity yesterday. And Murray and I were talking about this earlier in the day along with Felger. Because Murray and I were on the air last night when Oakland staged that comeback against the Angels. Oakland was down 6-1. They get 7 runs in the bottom of the 7th. They beat the Angels. Meanwhile, the Indians had already lost. So the Red Sox could have gained on both of those teams. Instead, it totally flipped on them.
And I find it, we were reminded of this, Maz. I find it ironic that a year to the day of that clutch go-ahead 2-run home run of the night by Brandon Phillips against the Braves, you get Rafael Devers thrown out at home and the loss to the Twins feels like the nail in the coffin. It's two microcosm games of their respective seasons.
I mean, really, it's a good thing. It's interesting you brought that up. I forgot about that, and I meant to ask Jimmy. He's going to love this. Jimmy, the Brandon Phillips home run last year and the response it drew from Murray and myself, we don't need it right this second, but I do want to play it sometime tonight. I meant to play that last night, and I forgot. The Red Sox fans need to hear something good.
Yeah.
I mean, with the way this year has gone. But I am curious as to what fans thought about the decision, and then I want to get to Dave Dombrowski in the next segment in that column by Kenny Rosenthal of The Athletic. 617-779-0985. DJ is in Boston. We'll kick it off with him. What do you got?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Obviously, he couldn't challenge him being out because he was clearly out. But could he have challenged the catcher being in the base path if he was in front of home plate? Thank you, guys.
So, DJ, I'll tell you what, that's an interesting thing. I had not considered it, right? You can't block the plate anymore. The catcher for the Twins was in the baseline. Devers couldn't get past him, and again, never touched the plate. That never crossed my mind. I'll tell you this. I'm glad the Red Sox didn't. And again, if you heard Cora's response, right? Alex Cora's response is, he just kind of chuckled. Like, I laughed about it. I thought it was a home run off the bat. Then I thought, well, Devers is going to score, and then he's out of the plate, and that's it. So Cora saying that, he sort of laughed. I think he meant that sarcastically because it's been that kind of year for the Red Sox. I still think they did the right thing by sending him. I do. With the way their year has gone, if they win that game and they're 4.5 out, I think people start to change their tune a little. I'm not telling you I would have, but I think people start looking at the Red Sox differently. Andrew's in Taunton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Maz, I think ultimately I thought it was the right move just because it took a player making a really great play to force the out. And I just wish the Red Sox played a little bit more like this year, where they forced the best of the opposing team to put them down. Too many times this year, it was just they didn't show up and another team just beat them. But all, like, more importantly than that, I'm not passionate either way about the call, and that's probably the worst thing is I've let the season go. I don't care if he was out at home, really, because I think the season was over before last night, and obviously it's still over today.
Well, so, Andrew, I'm glad you brought up that last point, because I was reading some of this today about how, ooh, it was a big loss. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I mean, if you're in a position at this stage where you got to be taking some chances and playing aggressively and hoping that other teams lose, it's not a big loss. I feel like the fate of the Red Sox has been sealed for weeks. Now, look, does that prevent them from pulling out some sort of miracle finish or miracle comeback? No, of course not. I mean, anything is possible. We've seen it here. We saw it in the opposite in 2011. They lost seven in a row to end the season. The Rays got in. So, look, crazy things can happen. And there are teams that choke. The Indians are banged up. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Indians fade back to the pack here in the last 3 weeks, and the Red Sox have four games with the Rays, and then who the hell knows what happens. But a big loss? This wasn't a big loss. Okay, the big losses happened a while ago, which put them in this position. Then once you get to this stage and you have no margin for error, now you're just trying to, you know, you're trying to hit the slot machine at the casino. That's what you're trying to do. 617-779-0985. Interesting column by Kenny Rosenthal in The Athletic today concerning the future of Dave Dombrowski. I want to go through it bit by bit because I think there's a lot behind the scenes of this column because a lot of it is just ignoring facts and some of it is dead on. So I'll tell you which parts I agree with and which parts I don't when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Outlet.
I've gone through the blown saves, and I know we've had a number of them, but really it hasn't cost us as many games as what you would think during out the year. Our bullpen has basically been fine.
Obviously, Dave Dombrowski, right after the trading deadline. I mean, of all the things Dombrowski has said, of all the bull crap and the propaganda and the resume reading and all that he has said, that one's up there. Boy, that is a whopper. Our bullpen basically has been fine. I mean, to me, that one thing crystallizes a lot about Dombrowski, not the least of which is the arrogance. Does he really think we're that stupid? Does he really think we're that stupid? Our bullpen basically has been fine. So it's an interesting column by Kenny Rosenthal today in The Athletic, but I'll tell you what, I see a few of you online. I mean, waiting on hold. So let me do this quickly, if you can make your points quickly. I know you want to talk about the decision to send Devers home. Do you agree or not agree? Let's see if we can zip through these. Carl and Grafton, go. Carl, are you there?
Sorry, man. Thanks for taking my call. You have to hold. If Jimmy Stewart is right, you play conservatively. It's a fly ball to the shortest left field in the majors. If it's over, the fence, you win the game. Hold the guy. You need another hit. You just need to play small ball there. You got to be conservative. You can't
not
Devers. He's not fast.
Okay, so no, he does actually run pretty well, Carl. He beat out a double play.
He runs well.
Hold on. He beat out a double play earlier in the game. To say he's not fast is wrong. I mean,
not from 270 feet away, Matt.
So how many outs were there at the time, Carl?
Two.
Okay, so he was running on contact. And who was the next guy up?
I haven't watched him in a month.
Okay, so look, and I don't blame him.
Christian Vasquez, who has a number of good late-inning hits this year.
And who has sucked lately. frankly. Vasquez has sucked now for what, 2 months? Month and a half? So I don't feel confident in Vasquez hitting. I don't care what his numbers are this year. He hasn't done anything in the last 6 weeks. Dan's in a car. Dan, quickly. Danny, you there? No, Dan. See you later. Seamus and Natick, go.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
So my biggest thing is, it's not whether it was a good call or bad call for me. Where does Devers simply stand in terms of speed on the Red Sox? Is that somebody you honestly would want to send on that?
He runs well enough. I let you go. He runs well enough. The last caller just said the same thing, so I don't want to repeat it. Only because I want to get to this Dombrowski stuff. Okay, so again, to me, I don't have a huge problem with it. And if you think that last night was the one that did them in, this is really my bigger gripe, you weren't paying attention. The Red Sox dug this grave a long time ago. They dug it a long time ago. Last night, they tried to climb out of it. They did something desperate. It didn't work. But I don't have a problem with them doing what they did. And again, Christian Vasquez was the next guy up. So Kenny Rosenthal today in The Athletic. The headline is, Dombrowski's status a hot topic. And then he goes on to say, my thoughts on manager of the year, blah, blah, blah. But Dombrowski, a hot topic, and he writes, first of all, he mentions the item by Dan Shaughnessy, which was a month ago now, that Shaughnessy writes, I'll be shocked if Dave Dombrowski is back. A column which, by the way, has not prompted any response whatsoever from the Red Sox. Since that time, Dave Dombrowski has talked to USA Today and Bob Nightingale, longtime baseball writer, indicating he was surprised about the report that his job is in jeopardy. And then Rosenthal writes, Dombrowski is under contract through 2020, but his status is a hot topic around the game, which raises the question. If the Sox replace him, what will be the expectation for their next top executive? Now, look, the last two Red Sox GMs, if Dombrowski is fired, will have been fired basically within 18 months of winning the World Series. Ben Cherington got it in 2015. Dombrowski will get it in October, late September of 2019 after winning in 2018. Rosenthal writes, the way Sox ownership operates, back-to-back World Series titles would figure to be the new standard. Evidently, one championship is no longer enough. The team's hiring of Dombrowski in August 2015 prompted the resignation of Ben Cherington less than 2 years after Cherington won a title. The removal of Dombrowski after this season would be even quicker. And the team in its first three seasons under Dombrowski won the AL East three times. So it feels to me like Kenny Rosenthal is making a case for Dave Dombrowski to keep his job. And let me just make this part clear. I think the world of Kenny and I love him. Okay, but I also get the sense in reading this that he has some sort of relationship with Dombrowski. And I don't blame him for it. I mean, he's covered baseball a long time. I'm sure he knows Dave. But I do find it interesting that Dombrowski's the two guys. First of all, he talked to Nightingale, and now Rosenthal is writing something that brings into question how the Red Sox will be perceived if they fire Dombrowski, which is a fair question. Okay, it's a fair question. But that line, evidently one championship is no longer enough, that's a dig at ownership, and they deserve it. But it feels to me like it's coming from the Dombrowski side. Then, this is the paragraph that kind of clued me in a little. The current season is not going well, Rosenthal writes. The Red Sox are 16.5 out in the AL East, 6.5 back in the wild card, and they are almost down to their last breath. In a number of Dombrowski signings, most notably Chris Sale, but also Nathan Eovaldi and even Steve Pierce, have produced poor short-term results. Let me ask you two guys a question real quick. Are Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale concerns because the short-term results are bad, or that there's something worse that could happen over the next 4 or 5 years?
The latter.
It's a health issue with me.
Yeah.
Okay, so this idea, like the way it's written, short-term results. Chris Sale is still looking at Tommy John. And I told you, I'm not necessarily screaming from Dombrowski's dismissal, but I'm not standing in the way of it either. And then, when the Sale injury happened, I looked at it and said, that in and of itself is a borderline fireable offense. You had a pitcher who missed half the season last year and didn't look anything like himself in October. He all winter shut it down, basically. You brought him to spring training and you put him in bubble wrap. You handled them with kid gloves in spring training. And before the season starts, you decide to give them 5 years and $145 million? What was the logic there? What was the logic there? That is a huge mistake. And Nathan Eovaldi, when we all saw the money, or most of us, at least I know I did, said that's a stupid contract. Stupid. And you know why Dombrowski signed those two guys? Because he had nowhere else to turn. They have nothing in the minor league system, which he destroyed. Before I get to more on Rosenthal, from Rosenthal, James is in a car on Dombrowski. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Tony. I mean, look, we've settled into a system clearly in Boston where we won our first World Series in 2004, a long time. We've had, four GMs since then. So you compare us to the Yankees, they've had one. The difference is we've won four World Series. So something about the way they're doing it kind of works. My question is very simple. Look, we've got the worst farm system to show for Dombrowski's time. He's going to leave us with a crazy capital structure, with a contract structure. But he did win one. We did win one.
Okay, so... Okay, so, James, before I let you go, just quickly... All right, he hung up. So you say something about the way the Red Sox are doing it is worth it, or makes sense. It works. Talking about the change in GMs. Simple question. If Theo Epstein wanted to stay, would he still be here? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Theo would still be. So this isn't a plan. It's not like they said, we'll fire the GM every 4 or 5 years and that's what we'll do. They chased Theo out the door. It was a mistake. Maybe the biggest mistake of the John Henry ownership era. And so now, was Dombrowski's tenure worth it? I would say overall, yes. He won you a title. And when they hired him and they made the trade for Sale, people like me said, you better win one at least. Maybe two. Because based on this guy's track record, he's going to leave you in ruin when he leaves. And then they're borderline in the farm system. They're pretty close. I want to get to more of the stuff from Kenny Rosenthal in this story. We'll also continue with your calls. I see Dan on the line. Dan in a car. And now we do have a line or two open if you want to get in. 617-779-0985.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It really kind of sucked the life out of us today, and that was kind of the deciding factor. So that's kind of the toughest part, is being in a position to really, kind of put the dagger in and just kind of leaving the door open. As I sit here in front of you today, it's kind of the same as a few other starts. Without me, we have a pretty good chance to win this game.
That's what happened the last time the Yankees were in town. They're back here for a four-game series starting tonight. Chris Sale went for the sweep. Cut the legs off the Red Sox. And that, in retrospect, was the beginning of the end. Remember, the Red Sox were 5-1 in that homestand up to that point, Tampa, New York. Sale goes out, loses to the Yankees. They lost the next seven after that. They lost eight in a row. 617-779-0985. I want to get back to this Dave Dombrowski column in The Athletic. Dan in a car and Dombrowski. Go ahead, Dan.
So, Tony, I called about the Devers play, but I know you want to move on to Dombrowski. He should lose his job. Not only that, he should be sued for general manager malpractice and clawed back on his salary. Even if you give him that, say, Sale and Eovaldi are healthy through the whole season, you can't go into the season with not one bona fide arm in the bullpen. And that's what he did. And he didn't come in. He didn't do anything at the trade deadline. So it's so glaringly obvious that he left these guys hanging, and why that is probably because of his mismanagement of the payroll. But
okay, so Dan, I'm going to stop you there only because I wouldn't say they didn't have one legitimate arm in the bullpen. They had legitimate arms. They didn't have a closer. And because of that, the structure got all out of whack. And I'll tell you what, with Dombrowski, here's ultimately where I'm settling. Could you call his run in Boston a success? Yes. Yep, it was. He won a world championship. He got you Chris Sale. And at the end of the day, they brought him in to do, or he did what they brought him in to do. So I'll give him that. But I sort of look at it like a player whose contract is running out. Does that mean you have to bring him back? Because he's not the right man for the job anymore. That's sort of where I've settled, and I want to get back to the Rosenthal column. And if you're on the line, sit tight. I'll get to your calls. Okay, Rosenthal writes, and again, some of Kenny's column here I think is dead on. For example, he says, if Red Sox owners are frustrated with Dombrowski's spending and his use of prospects as trade fodder, well, what exactly did they think they were getting? Dombrowski hasn't broken from character in Boston, has never disguised his M.O. I agree. Dave Dombrowski's M.O. was what it was. And I wasn't entirely sure that he would destroy the farm system because, again, I felt like in Florida, after they had to dismantle that team in 97, and I'm going back 20 years now, he actually did a half-decent job selling off some of the parts. But that was a long time ago. In Detroit, he decimated, and all he did was spend the owner's money and trade away minor leaguers. That's it. Okay, now, Rosenthal goes on to say that the Red Sox are entering a pivotal stage of their overall, you know, their longer-term future, their development, because they have J.D. Martinez potentially opting out. Mookie Betts has been reluctant to sign a contract. They have no minor league system, et cetera, et cetera. And he's right. It is a pivotal time. So then he writes, and again, I just feel like he's coming at it from Dombrowski's perspective. Maybe Kenny just wrote this in the interest of fairness, but I feel like it's a little too kind to Dombrowski. So Rosenthal writes, in 2016, Baseball America ranked the Red Sox farm system as the fourth best in the game, even after Dombrowski traded four prospects for closer Craig Kimbrell in one of his first major moves. That ranking subsequently dropped to 14th, then 23rd, then 30th entering this season. It has since risen to 22nd in Baseball America's midseason update, in part because Dombrowski did not trade any major prospects in July. So that last line feels to me like Rosenthal's giving credit to Dombrowski for this most recent jump in the Red Sox player development ranking because he didn't trade anyone in July. Now, I know a lot of people are mad that he didn't help the team at the deadline. I was content that they did nothing because this team wasn't worthy of the help. And the other thing is, I believe, and I'm not reporting this, I'm just telling you my opinion. I don't have any inside info or anything of the like. Dombrowski went on record, Jimmy Stewart, you remember this, Dombrowski went on record saying that there were no payroll restrictions on him, that he could have done what he wanted.
He emphasizes that at every chance he gets, and he also says, I have power and I've never been told no by ownership.
Okay, but I'm willing to bet they told him, you're not trading any of our top prospects. Not that the Red Sox have a lot, but I'd be willing to bet that they put that block on him. His acquisition was Andrew Cashner for a couple of 17-year-olds in the Dominican Summer League, and the Orioles had to eat money to do it. Okay? So that in and of itself should tell you plenty. And let me just say this, because I don't know any other way to say it. Dombrowski is a massive politician who will lie right to your face. He will. He will lie right to your face. Most baseball executives will. With him, it's just less believable than normal. So that line, they jumped to 22nd because Dombrowski didn't trade any prospects. The highest prospect they have to deal is Tristan Cassius, who was drafted a year ago, who's 61st in the top 100. The Red Sox don't have anybody in the top 50. And the guys they have in the bottom 50, Cassius looks like he might be something. Still early. Bobby Dalbec, with his 235, 240 average, looks like the next Michael Chavis to me, and that's what someone in baseball told me. Okay, so, and I say someone in baseball, an evaluator with another organization. So, I just feel like Dave Dombrowski put himself in this spot. If he was a mercenary and brought in as a mercenary, so be it. Contract's up, big offseason coming up. I don't want him being the guy who trades Mookie Betts for prospects. I don't. Because I don't trust his ability to identify young talent in other organizations. Joe's in Vermont. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hey, Matt. You caught me off guard there. Hold on. Let me get you off speaker.
No, no worries. Go ahead.
So I actually think, just going to the Dombrowski thing, I'm totally with you 100%. Just on the sale handling alone, it was pretty egregious. They're hiding something about this man's own.
I mean, Joe. Anyway, yeah, go ahead. Go.
Anyway, I think sending Devers is the absolute right decision. Like you said, he's not like, I'm not saying he's Ricky Henderson, but he's got good speed. And if you don't send him, what you got is first and third with two outs, and you have a forced play at second. So you put all this together and you say, we got momentum. It's off the wall. Like, we got the crowd. Maybe this man's amped up. Send him. It was a great throw. He got tagged. If you're going to play aggressive, you're going to get caught with your pants down every now and then. That wasn't the season. The season was losing seven back, like you said, after Sale blew it.
Yeah. So, Joe, yeah, it was eight in a row and seven after Sale. Okay. So you're right in saying that. To me, that's where it was at this stage. Like, two outs, man on first, bottom of the ninth, your cleanup hitter, your best hitter, hits the ball in the air to left field, you're going, and you are coming home. That ball had enough arc on it where I thought, okay, you give it a shot. If it was an absolute rocket off the wall, you don't send them.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.